Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hi, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Your wedding is a day you'll remember forever. And your fiancé? Your fiancé deserves a suit that feels just as special as the moment you say I do. At Nick's, we've dressed over 20,000 wedding parties, and we specialize in helping weddings own their suits for about the same price as a rental. That means not only will your fiancé look amazing on your wedding day, but we'll have a suit that can be worn for years to come. Let us make this the easiest and most meaningful part of planning your wedding. Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
They have this Panther sound effect that is just the cheesiest, stupidest sounding thing. Big voice guy going, Panther goal scored by Sam Reinhart.
Where'd you get that thing?
I trapped it. Been keeping it in my bathroom at the motel, feeding it old pizza.
It's Mike Shope.
If you're calm, that wondrous big cat will be calm too. But if you're scared, that beautiful death machine will do what God made it to do, namely, eat you with a smile on its face.
And the Bulldog. On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Good afternoon, everybody. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer sitting in for Shope and the Bulldog. Both have today off. Hopefully Mike Shope is back tomorrow. Bulldog, though, got a little bit more time off before the new year.
You know, taking some me time.
Doing it right. He's doing it right. He's doing it right. Especially with Christmas and New Year's both being on Wednesday. Doing it right. Take the full time off. Get the full, you know, recharge.
We'll see him in 2025.
Exactly.
And that's the right way to do it. If you got the time to do it, take it.
Do it. Yes, Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here with you until 7 o'clock tonight. And the Bills are back to it today. We'll get the official injury report as that comes out later today. There were already some reports, though. A few guys wearing red non-contact jerseys. Matt Milano not amongst them. He was fully practicing, it appeared to be. We'll get more designation on that, though, once the official report is out. I will say, though, Derek, that has been something I've actually really enjoyed by the Bills this year, having kind of complained about some of these playoff games. Yes, you can complain and moan about how coaching decision here or there, but watching like numbers of starters go down and then backups go down as well over these last few years, they were not getting the injury luck you need to make that long playoff run, the war of attrition that it becomes in January. And now the Bills, I think most of this year, and I know myself, Sal Capaccio, we've talked about this a lot on the Extra Point Show, is that it seems to be what the Bills are doing all year.
They're taking it patiently, and that's probably the right approach here. A, because you knew you could. The division was so poor that you were able to play a lot more patiently after being guaranteed a home playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
Right after Thanksgiving.
I think that's pretty much when it was official they were going to slow play it.
You could slow play things, and they were doing that all the way too, like almost right beforehand as well, with all the wrist injuries to the wide receivers and, you know, like Coleman's out, Cooper's out. And they were really able to just take their time. They didn't want to rush anyone back, and it seems to be consistently what they're doing this year. Like you said, war of attrition. In order to do that, you need to play it smart. You need to play it slow. And the Bills were in a position where they could do that while also still stringing along some wins, making sure that they're in these games, finding ways to win no matter what the cost. But yeah, they're figuring it out.
We talked on Tuesday, too, of like them winning ugly. And now this whole year has been they've won in a multitude of ways.
They've won in a multitude of ways now. The one thing that's left is, quite frankly, if you have to see them, you have to take down the team that's really scaring everyone. Baltimore.
And I thought you were going to say the Chiefs there. No. I was like fully prepared to be, yep, they're back.
Well, they are back.
Risen from the dead.
But if things go the way they should on paper in the first round, Kansas City's not your problem.
No.
Your next opponent would be Baltimore.
Yeah.
Because in seeding, the only way you see the Kansas City Chiefs is if you make the championship game. And that is a bridge we will cross when we face it.
Yeah.
When it comes
all roads lead to the same teams, though, don't
all
they?
Roads do lead to it, especially with them at the one seed and everyone just deciding they want to trip over themselves when they face Kansas City.
See, I think that was true a few weeks ago. Now I think they've just gotten really good. They're healthy as well. Worthy's coming along. They got Hollywood Brown back. They've also gotten the run game somewhat going with Pacheco being back as well. I think they're just all around. They were able to will themselves to win, now they're just totally going.
If they gaslit the populace into thinking they were a mid-football team with a great record and then just go do their usual thing in the playoffs again, I don't know how I'm going to respond, but I don't know if it's FCC safe to say the words.
I'm up and down about them. We'll talk about them, Baltimore, the Bills, MVP race as well today.
I do not want to be gaslit by the Kansas City Chiefs again into thinking, oh, you know, the Bills could beat them. But the thing is that the Bills could always beat them.
Well, yeah.
But now it was always looking more convincing throughout the season of like, oh, you let Carolina get to overtime, mm-hmm. and you let teams that just basically weren't the Browns or the Texans or the Steelers in these last 3 weeks, everyone else was in the game until late. You had to doink one in against the Chargers, and you won the other game only by 7 points. If they gaslit us again, like they did a couple years ago, the NFL's got a problem on their hands at that point of how do we market this?
Yeah, because it's now becoming, it's the Kansas City Invitational, the AFC playoffs.
The AFC Championship game has become that.
The Arrowhead Invitational, because everyone has to go there. And that's funny enough, you bring up like marketing and stuff like that, and that's been sort of my thought process constantly with talking about the MVP and legacies and how the NFL, you know, because I think a lot of people get lost in thinking like the NFL really wants the Chiefs to win. Like I saw, you know, our former colleague here, Andrew Filippone, talking about how the Chiefs like helped the Chiefs win yesterday, or the refs helped the Chiefs win yesterday, and the penalties went down like Pittsburgh had 4, Kansas City had 9. Like it very clearly was not true. And even if you watched the game, it was very clearly not true. The Chiefs were just significantly the better team. And I think you're right in because we were talking about this during a little bit of our show prep, about an hour or so, we were really jumping back and forth around on it, of just how the Chiefs are D4 lining up correctly and not one of the worst second half performances ever in a playoff game away from Kansas City being in the Super Bowl every single year Mahomes has started a game.
I've never suddenly wanted to throw up hearing words. But you got me there.
And they're back. And in the year where I've been saying it, I know Bulldog's been saying it, where it felt like they're a one-and-done walking team. You can see it. They look like the 2020 Steelers. They look like the 2022 Titans, these teams that were the one seed or started off the season with a really good record. And you could just look at them and go, no.
You're flawed.
I'd even say the 2019 Ravens. Because I remember that season, Jackson won the MVP, there was this feeling that it was a very gimmicky offense. It was the typical Greg Roman offense.
Yes, it was.
Very run-dependent, and they didn't really have a second gear. And once they got in the playoffs, once they got into tougher teams, they really fell off. The Chiefs no longer look like that. The Chiefs are no longer winning games through the quote-unquote dark magic. The Chiefs are just straight up better than teams. Xavier Worthy, the last 3 games, is getting double-digit targets, or almost. I think he had 9 targets, 8 catches yesterday. Which,
yeah, thanks for that, by the way.
But even that, I mean, like, he's coming along really, really well, and they're getting him going. Hollywood Brown, back immediately, and it's already seemingly working. They got Hopkins. They've got Kelsey not having to, and he still does not look explosive, don't get me wrong. But he's able to get going.
But Kelsey's suddenly looking like the fourth option now.
Yeah.
And that's a problem, typically, when you have that as your fourth option.
Yeah, 30-plus year old Kelsey as a fourth option feels unfair. And then the defense, well, the defense is not what it was last year. It is still a very, very good unit. I mean, they dominated Pittsburgh with Chris Jones not playing. Dominated them. It was never a football. And I think it was like 13-7 at the half.
Which I do think
has
more to do with, I think that does have more to do with Pittsburgh.
Don't disagree. Don't disagree.
Than Kansas City when it comes to the offense. But at the same time, yeah, I'm back to it. If Kansas City gaslit us all into thinking they were a walking one and done team, I'm going to take up martial arts because I need boards to break.
It has made them now to be like, I wouldn't say an uncomfortable conversation, but a difficult one because, yeah, like, what am I supposed to talk about with Kansas City in October? If they're, let's say for argument's sake, at week eight, they're 4-4. And, like, they won't win the one seed.
I'm going to call them liars at that point.
But it'll be something where it's like, yeah, but they'll be fine. They'll turn it on in the postseason.
Yeah, then becomes the same old thing. Which now leads me to this about Kansas City. The spiritual successor of the evil empire from Tom Brady and Bill Belichick is worse and more annoying than New England could ever be. Because you just said it yourself. The AFC Championship game has become the Kansas City Invitational. I wouldn't necessarily say Arrowhead Invitational because, like, last year it had to go to Baltimore. Mm-hmm.
But you know,
but typically Kansas City's there. They have been there every single year since that tandem has arrived. Because the first time they have to go to New England, and this last one they had to go to Baltimore. But other times than that, it's Kansas City, and it's always Kansas City. They're guaranteed a top four spot within the last four teams in the National Football League every postseason.
Mm-hmm.
That is a stretch that New England hasn't even done. They've stubbed their toe against the Jets. They've lost to Peyton Manning before a championship game. The Patriots even had 10 years or so of a stretch where they did not make it back to the Super Bowl.
I think it was just didn't win it. I think they made it back.
Oh, yeah, they made it back. Yeah, they didn't win it.
But I think it was just a 10-year window where they didn't win it.
But still,
mm-hmm.
Do you see 10 years going apart from Kansas City not doing that right now?
Currently, no.
No. And that's the problem, is that now we've got a season like this where they gaslight us all into thinking that they're a one and done, you're mid, you're not good, and they're turning it on again all ho-hum right in time for the playoffs and to make everyone have to think, oh, great, they were just lying to us the whole time. That's far more annoying than anything New England could have ever done. Because when Tom Brady was Tom Brady and Bill Belichick was Bill Belichick, the Bills were also just bad. Now,
yeah.
They're sitting actively in Buffalo's way of the ultimate success, but they're also doing it to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It is not, like, Joe Burrow has gotten so much run over a singular Super Bowl appearance because he's not the Chiefs.
Because you beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead.
Quite literally, it is because you're not Kansas City in the Super Bowl. Thanks. That's awesome. And whatever happens from there, you're going to be held in a higher regard.
Mm-hmm.
Not that Burrow's bet. He should win Offensive Player of the Year, by the way. Or him or Saquon.
I love that take.
He should. He's got the numbers.
No, I know. It's just like because you'll never get it for a guy that has a losing record.
Yeah.
But I want, like, the moment they hit 9-8 for him or Jamar Chase to win Offensive Player of the Year.
They should.
For the sheer fact of, if one of you was not on this team,
if one of you
you
was,
guys would win like four
if
games.
You guys had any kind of defense, yeah, you'd be making real noise. But again, Burrow gets more run from that Super Bowl appearance because it's not Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
That is the toxicity of what the Kansas City Chiefs have done to the NFL fan base.
I don't know if it's necessarily toxicity. It's just more like, this is what happens when you have a great dynasty that has sort of sucked the air out of the sport. Jordan in the 90s with the Bulls.
Fun.
I don't know. I wonder, though.
This day and age, it's different.
Yes, this day and age. Because when I look at, like, the 90s and the Bulls, so many just casual NBA fans talk about it with reverency of, like, I wasn't even an NBA fan, but damn did I love Jordan. I love the Bulls and all that stuff. Where when you talk about the Chiefs in the NFL, it does feel like it's toxic. It does feel like people are just like, I'm already done with them. And Mahomes isn't even 30 yet, you know?
That's the problem, is that there has been no break.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even with the Bulls,
and it's probably,
there was a break because Jordan retired to play baseball.
Or his teams weren't very good when he was young.
Yeah.
He had to get through the Pistons. You so literally watched him lose
there,
playoff series.
There was a break. Right That's now, fair. There is no break, and he is just Mahomes and the Chiefs are just there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem I think that we're having as a collective, as a public, is they're there again. It's the Undertaker meme. Standing right behind you is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Even when you think they're done. Like many of us thought after the Bills had beaten them, it was sort of this feeling of just lose one more.
If I'm Baltimore.
To give us hope.
If I'm Baltimore and I've got Lamar Jackson with two threatening on three MVPs. If I'm Buffalo with one of the most marketable players and one of the most talented players in the National Football League who might get his first MVP. He might not. But what's standing right behind them? Undertaker. The Chiefs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Again. Because you could do all you want. It's almost like you got spoiled walking into a movie. You go to walk in to watch Avengers Endgame, and some 9-year-old goes, I can't believe Tony Stark died.
You mean LaShawn McCoy?
That too.
you mean literally what LaShawn McCoy did?
First of all, there are different ways to have that movie spoiled. Second of all, going on to the Thanos theme, I am inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
That's Kansas City. And we're not the Avengers. And no team is the Avengers. So what do we do instead of being heroes? We get mad.
It's just, I can't wait for the playoffs to start. But yesterday's games, in part because they weren't—
For multiple reasons.
Neither game was really a contest at all. And we'll talk a little bit about that too, just how it feels like there's a clear tier break in the AFC playoffs where it's Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo, and literally everyone else. And thanks for showing up, but you really aren't a part of this.
There's three, there's four, and then there's the rest of the trash heap.
Yeah. But it already kind of feels like 3 weeks ago, Derek, we were sitting here going if not when for the Bills. Because Allen's an MVP. They are lighting teams up. Ty Johnson looks unbelievable as a third down receiving back, putting up a 100-yard receiving game. You know, Khalil Shakir looks like he's on pace for 100 catches or around there. Maybe he might get to 1,000 yards. Keon Coleman's coming up. They don't even need to go to Amari Cooper. They're putting up a record for 30-point games.
James Cook's leading the league in touchdowns, rushing touchdowns.
James Cook's up there is one of the best in years with Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley. You know, going back and forth, both were for a long time flirting with 2,000-yard seasons. Cook's right up there with touchdowns, and yet 3 weeks later, we're sitting here going, Baltimore has figured it out. Their defense, by the way, was a real concern earlier in the year. I mean, a real concern for
them.
They
were bad.
And now they are very good, specifically, in particularly, their pass defense. And then Kansas City has seemingly gotten healthy at the right time and has really kind of gotten into a groove. It felt like the treadmill.
And it looks like they're gaslighting everyone into thinking
they're back.
A one and done.
And then what's been the big problem with Bills fans? And this is where the NFL being one game a week for your favorite team hurts. What's the last flavor we have for Bills fans?
Bad taste in your mouth because New England stayed close with you.
New England stayed close and didn't look that
Jumped
good.
Out 14.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to claw your way back. That's the last thing that you got from the Buffalo Bills. So, yes, I do. I said this right after the Patriots game. I said, the next thing that I need right now is for you to slap around the New York Jets like the sorry franchise that you are.
Mm-hmm.
Clinch the 2 seed. Get it over with. Punt the other game against New England. Let's get to where we wanted to be, which is the postseason.
It's just, I can't now wait for the playoffs to start, even though a part of me is like, I'm going to be, I will be really annoyed and partially upset when the AFC Championship inevitably is back in Kansas City. Because as I just mentioned, there's a huge tier break.
Thanos.
And if both you and Baltimore should win your wild card matchups, Baltimore comes here, right?
Yes.
So then that's your AFC divisional round already for both teams. That is a huge moment for the trajectory of how fans, and I can even say internally, you believe in yourself. The Bills, how many divisional round losses will it be before there's a change? Blah, 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 blah. You know, for Baltimore, how many years in a row will Lamar and the Ravens offense put up unbelievable, historic stats on offense in the regular season, and then the postseason comes around, and it all falls apart. It all craters. Lamar's expected to pass more, what have you.
There's a narrative battle for the divisional round if everything goes the way it should on paper.
That is so juicy.
And yet so damn terrifying.
But it also feels like it won't matter because the team will go to Kansas City and lose. Which I don't think is right.
It's mean to say, but I believe it. And that's the problem.
And I don't even think it's right. But that will be the feeling until something changes. And to watch Kansas City yesterday on Christmas Day kind of just play with Pittsburgh. I mean, just never really take them seriously. They had a few, you know, fluffs here and there. But for the most part, they were dominant. They were beating the hell out of them. Baltimore, the same thing to Houston. You know, none of these teams feel all that convincing outside of the big three. My favorite thing in the world, not just for the idea of like the Bills having a better chance at the Super Bowl, is Kansas City actually does get upset in round one, because I think it just becomes all that more interesting.
Well, round two,
their first game.
Game one, yes, for them.
Because I think, I would even argue the NFL wants that, because then you could sit there for an entire week and go, you will have a new AFC representative. One of these young quarterbacks probably will get to their first Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the Eagles. Jalen Hurts may not play this week. Actually, it's trending that way. He's out with a concussion. That won't mean anything to their playoff hopes.
No.
But if all of a sudden they dip down to the 2 seed and they maybe got to go on the road, and let's say for argument's sake, the Minnesota Vikings are hosting and they're the 1 seed or what have you, because they beat Detroit. It becomes that much more interesting, and there is this kind of storyline. Because as you mentioned, like, the Chiefs could arguably be considered already what New England was. I think that's also another thing the NFL doesn't really want. They don't want the GOAT conversation to already start before Mahomes is 30. There's one thing to say he's the most talented. I think that's inarguable. Tom Brady was not more talented physically than Aaron Rodgers, correct, even John Elway. He was just the most accomplished. He was the most efficient. He was the guy that could just get it done. Him and his team could get it done most. But if Mahomes before 30 goes to, what would it be, his 6th Super Bowl, he wins 4 of them, you know, just for adding in this year, of course, if it does happen, I think already it would be Mahomes going to pass him. Mahomes will pass him.
And
so now you just, even if he doesn't, let's say he gets to 6, it will still be like Brady had to play till he was 42 or whatever to get to 7. You know, if Mahomes retires at 37 and has 6.
That's annoying.
It's over. The conversation's over. I don't really think the NFL wants that. I think the NFL wants the constant conversations, the constant buildup. Yes. If that's your only conversation is, when will Mahomes pass Brady in Super Bowl wins? I don't think that's exciting at all.
No.
It's why you saw, you know, the entire TV crew come for Bills Chiefs, because it was like, yeah,
this is something different.
Buffalo beats them all the time in the regular season, can't do it in the postseason. Do they get it again here? And then when they did, they still had that conversation going. If you get one of Lamar Allen beating Mahomes now at his home to go to the Super Bowl, that's an entire 2-year conversation that you can just spread out, going like, one of them got the Super Bowl, or they made it and they didn't win. Now all of a sudden you've got this whole thing of like quarterbacks making their first Super Bowl and losing. When do they get back, if they ever do? Do they ever end up winning one?
Do the Chiefs shut the door on you again?
Do the Chiefs shut the door on you again?
It's that sense of dread that the Kansas City Chiefs are bringing here on a constant and consistent basis that is making it worse for football, I mm-hmm. would say. Because eventually, if you keep seeing the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again, fans will start to turn off, because now they're going, what's the point? Because I know how it ends.
Yeah, it becomes, I can't even get excited for...
I'm not getting excited for the Chiefs mm-hmm. winning their 4th Super Bowl and being there for the 5th time already. Enough's enough. There's too much going on here. And I think that will hurt football's ratings at some point. Because at some point, people get pushed and pushed and pushed too far to where they go, this is pointless. Why am I doing this?
Yeah, somehow my team or other teams are so drastically worse than the constant winner. I mean, I think that was always the thing with the Patriots, too, and why so many people really did run with anything with cheating, was because it felt like, how are every other team so much worse than the Patriots at this? The cheating made a lot of sense. With this, it'll just be like, how are the Chiefs, even with all their issues, so much better on third down, so much better situationally, when for years, what was Andy Reid's big thing? Couldn't close, could not win a big game. That was his thing for decades.
Oh, and by the way, all the good quarterbacks, they're in the AFC. To make matters worse.
The only positive there, though, the number, like seemingly where we thought it was like super rising, has kind of plateaued a little bit.
It's back to the usual 3.
4. I'm still throwing Burrow in there.
That's what I'm saying with competition. I'm excluding Mahomes out of this. Yep. The problem is that Mahomes keeps beating these other 3.
Mm-hmm.
And it's annoying. And you want to see someone else, and that's why Burrow got that run of accolades that he's getting and praises he's getting, is because he's the guy that beat him in the playoffs.
He's the one dude that
did it. To go to the Super Bowl. He's the guy that did it. Because the only other person to beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs is that Tom Brady fellow, and he's done it twice. Once in New England, once in Tampa Bay.
I guess the GOAT conversation wouldn't be dead then, would it?
Because the head-to-head matchups.
Yeah, the head-to-head right at the beginning. Yeah.
No, maybe not.
Maybe the NFL would love it because they're like, nah, we can always just point to the head-to-head.
No, don't turn it around. Say that they'll hate it because I hate it.
I don't love it either. 803-0550, the number to call. Also want to jump in on the MVP conversation as while Allen is still the favorite, Lamar has absolutely closed the distance. I'm not going to lie, the discourse is kind of frustrating, but historically, it may not be the worst thing if Josh Allen does lose the MVP. Coming up in just about a half hour, 4 o'clock, Sal Capaccio will join the show. We'll get more into the Bills' official injury report. It was released just a few minutes ago. And then at 5 o'clock, Ross Tucker joins the show. Talk more on the NFL and the AFC in particular. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer sitting in for Shope and the Bulldog. This is
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
WGR.
I think these division games, they're always going to add a little bit more flair to it. And they're a physical team. You know, they got a really good defense. In terms of why they've given me fits, again, I don't feel like I've protected the ball too well against them in the previous years, but you know, just making sure I'm being smart with the football and being decisive with my decisions of where it's going and just allowing our guys to make plays.
There is Buffalo Bills quarterback Josh Allen. Today, the Bills did return to the practice field, and we do have the official injury report. And the Barnes Firm Injury Report, it is brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Not too many changes from yesterday's estimation. One big one is Matt Milano with a bicep and groin injury goes from limited yesterday, a full participant today. Tylan Grable goes on to did not practice, though, due to personal reasons, so no injury designation there. Your other limited players, then, that being four, are DeMar Hamlin, Cam Lewis, Taylor Rapp, and Curtis Samuel, all who were limited yesterday as
well. So all at the safety position. And Curtis Samuel.
The secondary. The secondary the last few weeks for the Bills has just
well,
been
and particularly
flash.
Those are safeties.
Yeah.
Cam Lewis is a backup safety for them.
Yep.
When either of them can't play, it's Cole Bishop and Cam Lewis.
Yep.
And now you've got Cam Lewis added to it. So what is it going to be? If all three of them have to sit, what is it? Cole Bishop and Kareem Jackson playing for you on game day? Starting?
Oh, boy.
That's a tandem.
That's
a tandem that will happen.
That's a time.
And ready?
I love that.
I'm going to help people out right now. What about Micah Hyde? What about Micah Hyde? He is here as a practice squad player and more or less a de facto consultant.
That's I'm
not dismissing what Micah Hyde can do. I am saying based on his injury status and the fact that he was signed so late in the year to be on the practice squad tells me I don't expect to see him suiting up in a uniform for a game this year.
Unless, yeah, I don't either.
Unless, by God, all five of them, including Bishop and Jackson, also end up getting hurt and you have no choice. Gun to my head, I'm taking Micah Hyde over whoever's next on the street. But even then, I don't expect him to suit up in a game this year. It is, you got him on the practice squad, so you can try to get him a ring.
Yep. Bills are taking on the New York Jets this weekend. You heard Josh Allen talk about, too, some of the struggles he has had against that team in particular for much of his career. And, yeah, he's about spot on. He has a passer rating of 84.4 career-wise against them, 14 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, 12 games against the Jets. The most recent one, though, earlier this year, 19-25, 215, and 2 touchdowns. Very efficient game for him. That's right before they trade for Amari Cooper as well. So that was when the passing attack was still super up and down. I think his worst game, though, is probably either in 22 when he was at the Jets, 18 for 34, 205, 2 interceptions, or
first week of the season last year.
Oh, the loss to Zach Wilson. 70 completion percentage, 236, 1 touchdown, 3 picks.
All of them to Jordan Whitehead.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah.
And they were all bad plays. Like he straight up cost them that game in week 1 last year.
Yeah, it was a terrible game.
But you know what the connotation is with both of those? They were in New York.
And who was the head coach? Sala. Sala's defense is...
Ulbrich was the head coach for the Jets game, though, for this past year.
Yeah, but even Allen was good there.
Yeah,
Allen was fine there. Their passing attack.
The Jets was a problem for Allen.
Outside of when he was... Because he was the defensive coordinator in 20 when they went to Arizona to play the 49ers.
The San Fran game, yes.
He was dominant there. But with the Jets in particular, Allen's had a really, really tough time.
But in 2020, you didn't really have answers for him either.
No.
He was very brand new. Because we're going to be talking about this with the MVP. That was Allen's best statistical season.
Yeah, we were talking a lot about it in the break, and of course the MVP has gotten like really back to the forefront. It went from Allen has ran away with this. I think at one point he was like minus 900 to win it. I mean, he very clearly was the guy. Now we got it. BetMGM has Allen still in front, minus 250. Lamar Jackson, though, in second at plus 160. I agree with this point. I think Andrew Hawkins over at ESPN said this, that we're seeing the best versions of both. Like, we've known both Jackson and Allen are great, and they are. I think it's okay to admit that. Some have had struggles in the playoffs. Allen's had struggles early on in his career. They both, though, have somewhat fixed that. Jackson's now won playoff games. You know, he's closing in on winning divisional races as well in a season where probably this year, Pittsburgh probably should have won it. And to end the year, the Ravens have just gotten their you-know-what together and have gone in and win it. Allen, yes, is more efficient this year. I think it's inarguable this is Jackson's best year.
Yes.
Statistically.
Statistically. But that part about Hawkins saying it's the best versions of themselves, I'm not going to disagree with that at all, because Allen is looking more composed. He is less erratic with the football.
I still think 2020 is his best year.
It is his best year statistically. But I do think that there's a lot to do with that based on, ready, there was more talent at the wide mm-hmm. receiver position yep. in 2020. And the Bills are doing, I wouldn't say more with less, but they're more effective with less weaponry around Allen right now.
Yeah.
Allowing for him to be the better version of himself, which mm-hmm. is more as a leader, but as a distributor and properly utilizing risk assessment. The last time, like, this was the first time I think I've seen all season the arm punt interception.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas more times than not, he's finding guys late on plays for first downs. I haven't seen the arm punt all year. And here we are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what? Week 16 of the season? The first time that I see where I see the arm punt and I like smack my forehead a little bit.
And you're like, man, where's that been all year? Because
refreshingly, I did not miss that.
No, like, but we were used to many years where it would just be third and long, third and 15, third and 16, which was last Sunday, and he would just chuck it up. See if you can get anything great. If not, you know, no harm, no foul. It's essentially a long punt. And it wasn't like all 18 of his picks last year were that. But there was like a handful that were.
But that said, do you miss it? Me? No.
Not really.
Not at all. I love the fact that he has been more efficient with it, and risk assessment has been there a lot better for him this year. Obviously, when he throws that, and like even the arm punt answer that we all end up with, nobody thought that guy was going to try to take that thing out and then last minute decide, hang on, I'm going to stay back. And Ty Johnson said, no, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
That was the reason that became the true arm punt, because otherwise, that's ball in the 20. And annoyingly so.
Yeah. When you look at the MVP, though,
we need...
I've gotten tired of the discourse of it. And it's not...
Yes.
It's not in particular Bills fans or Ravens fans or even, you know, let's throw in Saquon and Eagles fans. It's not necessarily that. For me, and I talked with Sal earlier today on this too with the Northtown Automotive X Point Show, and where Sal's issue is kind of coming in from, and we'll talk with Sal in about 20 minutes here, was more just the degrading the other guy to prop up your guy.
The problem
and
is
while that's
that
annoyed
is...
me, for me, it's been more... the week-to-week run. I saw a thing, Peter Schrager of NFL Network tweeted out his appearance on The Ringer about a week ago, too, and talking about how, well, you know, Lamar's playing more primetime games to end the year.
Yes.
And I'm like, so that's what this is? It's like, so like, you can't be front-loaded with primetime games because people are going to forget. People are already seemingly forgetting that Allen had one of his career-defining moments against Kansas City, a team that has one loss this year to Allen, goes to Detroit, and is dynamite against the Lions, having one of his, I mean, a play that is kind of refusing to leave the zeitgeist, even though it didn't count, the chest pass.
Yes.
And even the Rams game, six touchdowns.
On the heels of the Rams game where he single-handedly, where he and the offense will their way back into a game that they had no business being in.
And yet it feels like every week the pass performance gets forgotten. And that's where, for me, it gets exhausting of it can't be week to week.
And LeSean McCoy said something about this on FS1 a couple weeks ago, when people are like, it's over for the MVP race. Mm-hmm. And McCoy says something along the lines of, we live too much in the moment. It's not over. And he's right. It was dismissive to think that Allen had this thing all wrapped up after the Detroit game, because there were still 3 weeks left. Jackson still had to do his thing in order to keep Baltimore not only within a playoff conversation, but the division conversation. Yep. So he has to be pedal to the metal. You, the Bills, and with Josh Allen in particular with the MVP race, Allen still has to put the pedal down and put these bad teams down if he wants to win this thing. You can't go coasting because it's the Patriots and the Jets, let alone have a bad performance like you did.
Mm-hmm.
Because, unfortunately, the way that this day and age of the modern talking heads works is, it is, they're trying to be decisive, but also in the moment, and they're trying to make that all definitive, and it's not. You cannot call a race over when there is still time to go. But also, you mention how you have to tear one guy down in order to prop another guy up. This is on all fan bases, including here.
Mm-hmm.
Stop doing it. Because quite frankly, I'm not going to say that it's embarrassing. It's time consuming, and you don't need to use that time to do that. You don't need to get yourself thrown into a fit because you need to argue with Baltimore fans because they're trying to drag your guy down.
It's tough, though, because I even find myself getting lost in it a little bit.
You don't need to get lost in the sauce.
No, but it's you are having a debate, so it does. I think it does devolve into
when
that
you,
kind of
when you
always.
Start with bad faith as your debate.
Yeah.
You need to learn how, people need to learn how to debate again. The thing is that I should be allowed to say Lamar Jackson could very easily win the MVP and I will have zero problems with it this year. That said, Josh Allen could win the MVP this year legitimately and people should have zero problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's begin.
Yeah.
Instead, it's, I'm going to speak on the Bills' point of view. Oh, now the stats matter.
Right.
First of all, last year Josh Allen was not the MVP simply because the Bills willed their way back into the 2 seed in the AFC East title. They did that with complete football. The defense was playing well. The running game was showing up.
They started to really run the ball.
Josh Allen had a game where he didn't even have to lift a finger against Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't really factor into an MVP. So that part is, guess what? Lamar Jackson won that thing last year because no one really took the damn thing. They had to give it to someone.
Well, yeah, they had to give it to somebody.
The part I had a problem with was...
It's never going to be a running back award or a wide receiver award, and I think that's okay if we're still going off of value.
No, that's ridiculous. If a running back is playing well to the point where he is the most valuable player to his team, last year that was Christian McCaffrey. They should have given it to him.
I just don't think a running back will ever be that valuable.
But that's the thing, is that now it's a quarterback award. Just call it that then. Call it the quarterback of the year.
I have no problem with that.
Just call it at that.
Mm-hmm.
But last year, they refused to give it to a running back. And the problem I had with last year's voters was they made it near unanimous.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the only award they screwed up, though. They were off their game last year so badly that they took comeback player of the year and said it's harder to come back from being on the Jets and on a couch than coming back from a major medical issue that could have taken not only your career, but potentially your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you're back on an NFL roster with one of 53 jobs on a team. That's near impossible odds to do that. So last year's discourse, last year's voting, caused the debate issues that are now stemming up today. But we don't need to be going as a fan base saying, now stats matter?
Yeah.
They still do. And last year, Allen didn't have the best stats. It's okay to say that. Because just admit that you're mad that your guy doesn't have the hardware. Just say it.
Well, I think it's okay to say that. But I think it's the thing is a lot of people are, where it's going from Lamar won it last year when his stats really didn't look that good, comparative to himself. And he's also, to be fair, has made Pro Bowls with like 16 touchdown passes, which is mostly fan voting.
But that's fine. And the other thing is that Jackson is also marketable too.
Oh no! People need to remember that. But there is something to Lamar, and I love him as a player. But there is something to, I'd even also say, Baltimore fans that has frustrated the hell out of everyone else. Tyler Huntley made a Pro Bowl because of fan voting, and it does kind of feel like they're just being coddled to, yeah, well, of course your guy's going to get everything. Well, you know, it's fine. Don't worry about it. It's not true, but that's kind of the sense it gives off. And now with this year, it would be he had 24 touchdown passes last year. Now he's having, I think, his statistical best year, and he's lifting a Ravens team that for a lot of the year was actually not particularly that good, especially on defense, was not particularly
good. But again, it comes down to 50 people that are in the national media that do not, that I would guess do not watch this stuff closely on a week-to-week basis.
No, so Peter Schrager, I mentioned him too. He mentioned that a lot of these guys are sitting in press boxes watching other games to write, so they're looking at box scores.
Exactly. Or they're hot take artists. Like Emmanuel Acho has an MVP vote.
Yeah.
That's a problem. Does because he's a narrative vote. Pusher.
Yeah.
And some of the others are like that too. Dan Orlovsky called the race over. He has an MVP vote.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one saying on social media today of like, why you got to be doing this, Lamar? This race was over a couple weeks ago.
It was over. It was easy. It was easy. It was done.
But guess what? No, it wasn't. It was never over. Nothing's ever over in week 15.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll get your calls here after a quick timeout. Sal Capaccio joining the show in about 15 minutes. This is WGR. Well, welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer sitting in for Shope and the Bulldog today. And let's get connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll start with Ian here. Ian, how are we doing today?
Hey, good. Thanks for taking my call. I just was calling in. I don't know all the stats, but I just wanted to point out that maybe Josh Allen actually has played like a less amount of games this season as compared to Lamar Jackson with how dominant the Bills have been in their wins earlier in the season. Jacksonville, Miami, the Titans, just big wins. And I feel like in regards to stats, I feel like that has to count for something.
Yeah, Ian, thanks for the call. I'm with you. I don't necessarily know how many like games like Allen's been able to sit out in the fourth quarter. I do know, though, last year that was sort of a big argument for Lamar, why his stats weren't so high. And that was right. I mean, the Ravens team last year was unbelievable.
They were a buzzsaw.
It is them not making the Super Bowl last year was a stunning surprise.
But
a big thing for them last year.
But allow me. I went ahead and looked at this at the minute that it was mentioned. Thank you, Ian, by the way. The Ravens have had 6 blowouts.
This year. Okay.
One of them being Buffalo.
That's right. What was it, a 25-point win? No?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
But, you know, 10 against Tampa, he's probably staying that
whole
game.
He's staying in, yep.
Denver was 41-10.
Ooh.
But then they had tightly contested matches over those next 4 games. Even losing a couple. They went 2-2 in that stretch.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And when that stretch is happening, Josh Allen is putting on the unconscious work of the game against Kansas City, San Fran, where he gets a receiving touchdown added in.
That's right, he does.
And then the Rams and Lions games. So when Jackson is dealing with a 2-2 record, Josh Allen is going unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an accident that like it's living in the moment sort of thing. Because the Ravens are struggling. Jackson's not doing too hot.
Yeah, I mean, there was a point in the middle of the season where it was like, can the Ravens just string together a few wins here? Like, we know you're good, but you keep losing games.
Like, in that string of games, Jackson doesn't get to 300 yards passing at all.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson only gets to, like, 275, and that was against the lowly Giants in that stretch.
5 touchdown passes, right?
I think
that was the game, yeah.
Yes, but again, that turns into, okay, Lamar's doing that, and Josh Allen is going off.
Mm-hmm.
And the one game where Josh Allen doesn't have a dominant passing game, he has a passing, rushing, and receiving touchdown.
One of them has got to win the Super Bowl this year. They are putting on light shows almost every week.
It's not fair.
One of them has got to do it. For
not even just speaking in Buffalo. Like when it comes to Allen and Jackson, it's not fair.
Oh, I think these two fan bases currently, under these regimes, these quarterbacks, are kindred spirits.
Yes.
They both have a Kansas City
and
problem.
And yet, we're the ones fighting with each other.
That like, feels correct, though.
It feels correct.
That's how the world works. You two should be kindred
Ready?
Spirits, brothers in
but
arms, and
is,
you hate each other.
But the problem is, that's also society. We all argue with each other.
Exactly. Like, it should be like, you guys should be working together. Like, hey, Kansas City, yeah, boo.
Yeah.
No, we hate each other first, then you. than you
because you took something smaller.
Basically,
from
my like because we have to because both teams have to deal with that team later. It's like we'll get to you in a second. Yep. You,
we're dealing with each other first. 803-0550, the number to call. If you're on hold, stay on hold. But coming up after a quick timeout, the Bills were back on the practice field today. We do have the official injury report for this afternoon, and we'll get more on that as Sal Capaccio joins the show next. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer sitting in for Shope and the Bulldog today. And this is WGR.